You're listening to the Gold Squadron Podcast, your home for X-Wing discussion, strategy, and entertainment.
This is episode 51 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I'm your host, Dion Morales, and I am joined by Brandon, Dial Spinning Memes Prokos.
Hello.
Nate, I have dice more.
I have dice, but I still use the dice app.
And Francois, ooh, regional champion.
We are Gold Squadron, right?
We are Gold Squadron.
This is true. I'm totally not hidden.
Yeah, I know. You're
disguise
traitor, but
with Imperial.
Do we love you?
Nobody has to know. And before we go too far, I do want to say thank you to all of our fans. I know that last week I took the week off from recording the show because my grandmother had passed away and stuff, and I just wasn't in it. I got a lot of condolences, a lot of, like, you know, thinking about you and stuff. And I want to let you guys know that I appreciate it. But we're back to work. We were streaming from the Wisconsin Regional and playing and just ready to jump right back into the content. Before we go too far, I want to make sure to let you guys know that we do have some upcoming live streams this weekend. So it's going to be March the 10th and 11th. We're going to be streaming from the Michigan Regional. There won't be any commentary right away because all of us who will be there will be playing. But there'll be a video feed, and depending on what happens in the cut, we'll determine whoever scrubs out first commentates first is what happens. So.
We can start a bet on that if you want. Who's going to scrub out first?
All right, so who's coming? So I'll be there playing.
I'll be there. Allie's going to be there, and yeah. Marcel's going, right?
Right. Brandon, are you going?
No.
I don't have a ticket. Why not? Then buy yourselves a ticket.
Aren't they full?
I have no idea. Are they? Double check. Go anyways, because typically there's always some person who drops out, and then they usually are able to fit that person in no matter what. So I would just come because why not?
All right. So my prediction is that Nate is going to end up commentating first. Let's continue.
What?
So,
I'll love.
I mean, why not? Why not? Why not you? Right.
Well, because I need a regional ticket or I need a world's ticket.
So do I. Go away.
Go away. Oh, so I see what your true intentions are.
Correct. All right. And then our other stream that's coming up is the Chicago System Open, a.k.a. Hoth, a.k.a. Adepticon. That's going to be March 23rd and 24th. That's a Friday and Saturday. Most of us will be playing at that one. But two of our Gold Squadron members who aren't able to play, it's Nathan Oglesby and John Randazzo, are actually going to be steering the ship that day, and they'll be commentating all of day one. And I know that Johnny will be commentating also on day two, plus help with whoever's available. So that should be pretty awesome.
Unlock the hologram.
All right, gentlemen, the first thing I want to talk about, we didn't get to talk about it last week. We're not going to dwell on it too much. But I know that at least, let's see. Oh man, actually, Nate, we're outnumbered. Three out of the five people here will be going to Worlds.
What? Hey, we got a ticket too? Damn you.
Because he won a regional.
That's right, he did.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's funny because it seems like a quarter of the people who applied to it didn't actually. No, more than a quarter. Like 75% of the people who applied for it didn't get it. And then there's like this weird disambiguation of people who are kind of like, well, I wanted to go for Destiny, but I guess I'll go for X-Wing. And you're kind of like, damn you.
Yeah, so. We whatever.
The salt is real.
The salt is real. So we already got one of our guys a ticket, Francois. We cleared the field out for him. He said, Francois, take the seat. We'll clear the way.
Yeah. Well, no, in reality, though, big props to Marcel and yourself.
Reserve seat.
William, I mean, dude, that was really helpful. All the advice you gave me the night before to prep me for the top 16 game, being that you both played that list. So really thank you for all the help.
Gold Squadron.
That's right. So let's go ahead and get into the Wisconsin Regional. We played a ton of games between the five of us. And I figured in order to, in the essence of time, of course, we all had exciting games. We'll go round by round, but we're going to limit it to 2 minutes per person per round. And that'll bring us to about an hour. Okay. Is that right? Is that math? Math teacher. Is that right?
I don't know. I'm off. It's a holiday. What's 2 plus 4?
2 times 5 times 6 is an hour, right?
Dude, those are 3 totally different numbers. How am I supposed to handle that?
plus the cut, and then, you know, it dwindles from there. Yeah, we'll be good. All right. So 2 minutes each. Francois, I know that there was the match versus Nathan Knighty. You wanted to, I'll give you 3 minutes on that.
All right.
All right.
That was a great, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So we'll go, let's see, we'll go in order. So it's easy to keep track of. We'll start, we'll go William, myself.
No, I want to go before William, at least round one.
God, okay. I will go Nate, William, myself, Brandon, and then Francois in the order. And that's the permanent order. Here we go. So round one, Nate, go.
So round one, I played this awful person. He's a jerk. I think he's like a horrible human being, and he's in the chat room with us. It's William. No, William, go first.
Yeah, so me and Nate played first round, which was unfortunate. But... yeah, we ended up setting up in different corners. His Ray Miranda versus my Miranda Strezra Lorik. I believe we engaged at range 3, did no damage, and then after that, I think Nate, you slammed Miranda to get out of Ezra's arc, but ended up shooting a harpoon and a Lorik tactician shot, which kind of put her pretty low. I think it stripped most of her shields and did a couple hull damage. And after that, I think Miranda cleaned her up with some TLTs, activated the harpoon condition, and Miranda was out, I think, the second round of combat. Did drop a bomblet.
Yeah, she yeah, I had a bomblin, like, did some damage. My big issue, I guess, was, like, I should have done, like, a 3-4 instead, did a 3-bank, and the 3-bank put me out of some arcs, but then I was kind of in, like, this terrible, like, not the greatest position, but it would have been way better if I just kind of crashed into this Ezra, and then I was like, oh, everyone's in my front arc, and I can do some stuff here, and it puts me in a better position, I'm not stressed, but that just was, like, a losing thing because...
What was your guys' list?
I had my Ray Miranda.
We should probably do that, right? Hold on. Yeah, I'll stop the timer. William, what did you fly?
I flew the same regional list I had been. Miranda, TLT, C-3PO, bomblet, harpoon, long range, Lorik, selflessness, Ray, tactician, and the Strezra. Ezra, snapshot, R3A2, Hera.
And Nate?
Oh, I had my Ray with expertise, Kanan Finn, swoop title, engine upgrade, and then budget Miranda with just TLT, bomblet, long range scanners. I threw chopper on her just for kicks because I don't know. But it didn't really matter.
Yeah, Nate, your dice we were both using your dice app, and
yeah.
You rolled what we count?
Yes.
11 straight
dice on defense. My dice app. Yeah, 11 straight blanks, but like about 20 blanks in total. It was really, really, really bad. And he was like, I'm going to throw, you know, 3. Oh, look, it's 3 naturals and you're at range 3 debris. Here's my 3 dice. Yeah. Nothing.
Yeah,
Miranda's dead. Yeah. My position was not the greatest.
We get 4 minutes.
That's time. You're right.
Because we're both taking about the same round, right?
Fine. Go ahead.
Okay. Just real quick, to my credit, I thought I was doing a very good job keeping your Ray stressed and keeping out of her arc, which I think is honestly my win condition there. But yeah, right. I think we ended up trading Miranda for Strezra, and then Miranda and Lorik were able to clean up Ray.
So I flew my Kylo Ren fully decked out. Only Imperial player to make the cut was Kylo with Push to Limit, Advanced Sensors, Advanced Optics, the title, and Auto Thrusters, and along with two rowboats with Adaptability, Long Range Scanners, and Harpoon Missiles. A lot of people were really confused with my adaptability choice, and there's two reasons. It makes Kylo cheaper. Excuse me, it makes Kylo more expensive by lowering the cost of the gunboats in the endgame, so Kylo becomes 50 points of a points fortress. And also, with adaptability, I'm PS5 just like the Strezra and like Lorik. So in those situations where it's like, all right, these guys are on one health, I'm just going to joust these guys and try to get some damage before they die. I have that option available as opposed to getting PS killed by, you know, Ezra or Lorik. My round one was against Tony Schultz, and he was flying three Y-Wings with Ion Turret, Flight Assist Astromech, and the BTLA-4 title. This was on stream. I'm still working on getting the video together because we had some issues early on with the stream. But it was an extremely scary list to play against. The gunboats did get ionized a couple times. But Kylo is really the thing that pulled it off for me because he did have the BTLA-4 title and all the Y-Wings. So I didn't have to worry too much about them being turrets. I just made sure I was out of arcs and just took shots on these one agility ships. And but yeah, it was super scary. I was able to 100-0 him, but it took some work. I will tell you that much. All right. So, Brandon, round one.
Round one, I fought two chemos and a...
What would you have?
Oh, Scumbag Fenrau with Lothal Rebel, which is everyone's favorite list. So, yeah, round one was two of those garbage scum ships in Thweek.
That's how you feel about it.
I think the guy... I think the guy was at Indy too, because I remember seeing him playing like on the table next to me. So that was a win. Wasn't really that exciting. I mean,
you took a whole 30 seconds to explain your list and that match. That's great.
I thought the all two right, wins were for all of them. So
well, it's just per round.
Oh, per round. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. Lambert EK turned. shot harpoons, I think. I mean, it wasn't that exciting of a game, honestly. I tilted.
Okay, well, you don't have to use the whole 2 minutes if you don't want to. Francois, round, what did you fly? And then round one.
So I flew Nim Miranda with a 46-point Nim and a 2-point bid. So for the Miranda had a 46-point Miranda with harpoons, bomblet generator, Sabine, and guidance chips. I think that's the highlights. Nim had trajectory simulator with proton bombs and thermal detonators. Thought those were the two best bombs for me with the meta. And... had harpoons as well and TLT on both ships and guidance chips as well on them. My first matchup was against Andrew. He was flying a swarm of TIE fighters, so not a really great matchup for him. He either had to form up in a cluster or separate them, and he then ended up separating them. He did a great job coming them back in formation as I was trying to pick a couple of them off. But in the end, you know, the way I set up the rocks, I kind of got him into this little entry of a cave of rocks, and I just threw bombs in there and torpedoed. And it was just a bad matchup for him. And so I won 100-0.
All right, Nate, round two.
I can't remember who I played round two.
William, round two.
My round two was against a Boba Asajj. And I had actually set up my Miranda in the opposite corner of my Lorik Ezra, because I was actually trying to pull his two ships apart to try to get Boba to go against Miranda, and then so I could take on Asajj with the other two. The highlights of that were was actually both of us trying to fly the other person off the board. He tractored Lork to where I had to hard two and back onto the board. And my hard two was going to try to bump his Asajj at full health off the board as well. Neither one of those things happened. Between his glitter stems and my stress mechanics, none of his ships took actions for a long time. Eventually, we burned down Boba, and then Asajj killed Ezra. Lork ended up escaping at one hull, and then by the time his Asajj caught back up to Lork, I had already shot a harpoon and put him down to less than half health. So I would have won at time. I believe he ended up killing Lork and I killed Asajj. So I ended up getting the win there.
For my round two, I played against Chris. I don't remember his last name. I have his name here in my notebook as Chris. He was flying a contracted scout and Asajj. If you watched our Portland System Open series coverage, it was Kaelin Wong's list. And as soon as I saw it across the table, I smiled a little bit because I had the advantage of seeing basically somebody who played this at a really, really high level. I got to watch his games firsthand and analyze them and be able to talk to him about the list. So I knew what it wanted to do pretty much right off the bat. And no disrespect to Chris, but Chris didn't really put himself in as good a position as he could have. Compared to what, like, I took it slow at first, kind of seeing what's going to be his approach vector, and he hung the scout out to dry is pretty much what happened. And in the first engagement, I was able to get Kylo and both my boats on him, and took it down to one hull. I killed it the following turn, and eventually just I had all three of my gunboats alive, and Asajj was at half health, and that was the game. So I mean, a lot of fun. Chris, I was really worried about the scout. And if you had been able to use it as a blocker, it would have definitely, they could have shifted the game, but I made sure that we made a nice cluster of rocks where it was really difficult for him to thread through. And I just made sure not to get into position to block, to get blocked. So that was round two. Brandon, round two.
Round two, I played against the only person that has the balls to still run Corrin Horn. Everyone knows who that is. It's Nathan Eide. He had himself in an E-Wing because I truly believe that he and Corrin are just morphed at this point. They've combined souls and they are one entity. And he has Lorik and a Fenn as backup. So the majority of the early and middle game are just me coordinating boosts to my ghost to not get A, double tapped, or B, shot by his entire list. Because with regen, like, if I take a round of shots from all of his ships, it's just game over because I can't power through the regen fast enough. So that was basically the game. I'm just trying to whittle Corrin down, and I'm getting like two damage and regenning, and then he's getting two more damage, and then he's regenning. And then maybe I take like a primary shot, and his Lorik just absorbs everything because he's got focus, evade. I think he had selflessness, and then Lorik's other garbage stuff that he does.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, so I mean, it was sort of close, I guess. It wasn't really, like, I mean, that's not really a good matchup because A, he's 10 times better a player than I am. And his list is regen, so I don't know. I think I killed his Fenn. Yeah, I spite killed his Fenn just for points, even though it wouldn't have mattered. So. And then
you're like,
my Fenn was like really tanky, and he was just wasting like a lot of shots on my Fenn that should have died like three or four rounds ago, which kept me alive for a little bit, and then I don't think he ever double tapped. The only time he ever double tapped was when the game was over and he just wanted more MOV points. So he double tapped my Zeb and killed him.
There you go.
That was it. That was one of my two losses.
All right. Francois, round two.
I faced a pilot, Ryan Freeman, out of Minnesota. So I promised him I'd give him a shout out. I guess he's from the Frozen Wampas. He gave me a really cool still alt art card of Finn and Rey.
I got that card too.
Together. Yeah. That was pretty cool. You know, after the game was over. So thank you very much, Ryan. So he was flying three K fighters. Talonbane Cobra, Victor Hell, and Captain Justero. And he had a pretty interesting thing where, what was it? Swarm tactics, where you can bring a pilot skill
up to the nine. Yeah.
Yeah. Up to nine. So Justero would be going at four, from four to nine. And, yeah, he really flew this very well. It was really a nerve-wracking game of positioning because I didn't want to joust him, being that he was all nines, essentially. And my Miranda's an eight, so I'm not going to probably kill one of them before he's getting all of his, you know, harpoons off, because he had harpoons on all of them and stealth device on all of them, I think. I was just trying to be cagey and get some TLT shots, which I was successfully doing to pull off the stealth devices. And he had scavenger crane on these. So when I ultimately was just trying to position to get some TLT shots off and then get harpoons to kill him. But he definitely outflew me in a couple positions where Miranda was coming in, you know, near the end of the game to try to get a harpoon off. And I was trying to come at him in a pincer to come in two different angles. He was staying pretty close to where he deployed and in the rock formation. I had a bomblet that I dropped to kind of dissuade him from going, you know, following me too much. So in the end, he had a really couple of great things with Justero taking damage, going over rocks, or doing things that would trigger his ability. And also when I was stressed and was coming in with Miranda, I only had certain moves I could do with my greens, and he ended up making it where one of his ships would bump his own ship, not me, and get a range one. So I feel lucky that I won that game, 100-46, as I lost my Miranda. But we went to time on that one.
On to round three, Nate.
Oh, so I remembered my round two. It was about a guy that had, like, I think, Asajj and Boba Fett, like, bomb Boba Fett of anything. So that was interesting. But at the same time, I just was like, let's get out of arc. And that's all I had to do was really just, I got the initiative, stayed in Boba Fett's non-arc, and just kind of lit him up and everything. So I just boost and repositioning just was really good for that. And I think I won that like 100-0 or something. Maybe got half on Ray. I think, was that round two or round three? I think round two, I might've gone, I went against Pops Trad, Jeremy Trad's dad. And if you've ever played against him, you would recognize him with his, like, you know, always smiling, always like warm and awesome kind of guy. He's definitely been in the scene, and you always have a really good game if you play against Papa Trad. He's such a good guy, and he's always good spirited and fun.
Speaking of fathers, I actually had played Kevin 90 in round three. He was playing Kanan, Lorik, Ezra. And I probably one of my funnest games all day. Kevin really cracks me up. We had spent 18 minutes and six rounds before we engaged, just both charging up rays. Just he was doing a weird formation. Francois had brought it up before, but he was doing a weird fortressy thing in the beginning, and I was just kind of slow rolling to see what that strategy was and how long he could keep it up. And apparently it's infinite. So we eventually had to get up on it and start in for the attack run. Let's see, the highlights of that was his Kanan range one focus target lock, Finn against my Ezra. He rolled out 5 hits and a crit. Ezra only dodged 1. So I selflessnessed all 4 of the remaining hits, and the crit hit Ezra's shield. And Kevin just was baffled by how and why that didn't work. And then after that, I think Miranda and Lore killed his Ezra, who was kind of caught out of position, unstressed, spent his action coordinating, and ended up getting his Lorik with like a bomb and my Lorik, and it came down to a half Kanan against Miranda. And I went in for a block, or excuse me, I went in for a bump so that he couldn't shoot at me. But I ended up just barely not bumping and just barely inside of his front arc. And he threw another 6-hit attack into Miranda and put her down to 1 health or so, very low health. And then I believe, because then he was cut out of position because there was a board edge. And I was kind of behind him. He couldn't really K-turn. And I just, I must have been at 2 health because I healed up from a primary shot. And then he shot a 2-hit auto blaster at Miranda, stripped both my shields, and I won on time. So it's extremely close game against a surprisingly good list.
But so my round 3 was against a gentleman named Bashy, and he was flying triple row squadrons with harpoon missiles, flechette cannons, the cannon title, linked battery, deadeye, guidance chips, and extra munitions. So these things were really scary. They could shoot at any range 1, 2, or 3 after slamming around. He had harpoons if he needed them. He's at PS4, so here's my adaptability coming into play. So, I gave him the initiative. That way I could see where his rows were going to get set up. And he put them in a little line on my top right. And I was like, okay, so he's intending to joust me. So I put my guys in front. It's like, well, I know that I can blow one of those boats up before it even shoots. And basically what happened is he did not think that I could get Kylo to range on his most inside rowboat. And I did. It ranged 2, and I had target lock plus my reroll from the title and plus the harpoons. I was able to ace one of those right away, whittled down the second one. He was able to kill one of my boats. But it was a fun game, lots of slamming, jamming all over the place. I was able to win that one 100-25. And that one, it was just another testament to why I do adaptability. Deadeye is great, for flexibility, but the adaptability really was money for me across this tournament. This is just one example why. Brandon, round 3.
Round 3 was an interesting list. He had quick draw with the swarm leader, or the one that like sucks up evade tokens to shoot more dice.
Yeah, swarm leader.
And then he had Howl Runner, some other kind of first order tie that does like interesting things that I'm not aware of. The one that you don't see that often. And he had a 2 crack shot PS4 regular ties.
It sounds like maybe Zeta leader, the one you take a stress to roll an extra dice?
Maybe. I know he had a debt to pay, or the when you convert a focus to a crit or something like that.
Yeah.
One of those new condition cards. So he set up. Yeah. So he set up on my right in his corner. I set up in my basically right across from him. And I placed a couple of rocks kind of in the middle on our side, on the right side, if you're from my perspective. So as he's coming in, I did a hard turn and then a boost. And then he kind of got stuck like in an awkward spot where if he turns into me, he's basically going over one of the large debris, which is what happened. So I caught him. I did lose Fenn. I just played him sloppily. I mean, like, I got this game. I'll just sacrifice him, I guess. Because I don't really need Fenn. And then...
Right, I mean, if you're in position to that, win that game, for sure.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I could have saved them for better MOV points, but at that point, I'm like, maybe I can just have Fenn kill someone. I just,
you got selfish. You're like,
I got selfish and cocky, and I like cost myself 26 points, so...
All right, Francois, round three.
So my round three was a Prentice Gold Squadron, Allie Willis. But she did split her Y-Wings in her deployment in the beginning, and I killed one right away because I went hunting for it with Miranda, just slammed to be able to catch it, and harpooned it off the board with Nim and Miranda. The other one kind of got away, and Asajj was out of the fight in the beginning and came back in, and so I started working on Asajj, and it was such that Miranda was kind of busy with Asajj in the on her left corner, and Nim was not in a great position to really aid much, so I just went after the other Y-Wing with Nim and got him. But the key to the game was as time was approaching, I had a one health Miranda, and I managed to regen a shield, and I went in for the kill because Asajj had 3 hit points left, and I had harpoon left, so I just went in, figured this is no problem. I have Nim with TLTs and a 5 dice harpoon as I use my shield. And I rolled, well, Brandon, you saw it. I rolled the worst 10 dice possible, and with guidance chips, managed to get 2 hits, which she evaded. And my TLT did nothing with Nim, and she killed Miranda. But Nim being the point fortress that he was, I still managed to win the game 75-46.
Sweet. All right, we're in round 4. Nate?
Who did I play against? I played against Scott. Who had the same build as Will, unfortunately. So I went against this build a second time. What happened was is that he killed off my Ray. I killed off, like, what he had, the Lorik and the Ezra. So I killed those. So basically, my Miranda versus his Miranda. I'm up in the damage curve and everything. So what I'm doing is I'm trying to take these range one shots with, like, 4 dice and kind of kill his Miranda. And, you know, he was moving very fast. He could have just, you know, slow played and, you know, ran away. But he was going quick, and we were going at it, my Miranda versus his Miranda. And finally he lays this bomb, and I'm like, oh, that's fine. I'll be out of it. And it just hit me. That put a hit and a crit on me. And I'm like, oh, now I'm behind the damage curve. And then it just was over after that. So.
All right, and then we get William and myself, because we were each other's opponents in round 4. We'll put 4 minutes on the clock for this one.
No, let's do one. You guys can do one.
So, Will, you go first.
Yeah, this is not the best matchup for me. I knew coming into it that my one condition was Kylo, but I kind of knew that you knew that. I didn't know how deep you would play the mind games with it, because I knew you baited, I believe you deployed Kylo straight across to me. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, so I didn't know if that was a trap or if that was a mistake or what you had exactly planned there. And then, let's see. Yeah, so keeping in mind that Kylo was the win condition, I had to take down one of those rowboats because... being able to shoot 2 harpoons around, that's a lot of damage. My Miranda can't dodge both arcs if it comes to it, which it did. So I ended up taking down one, and then basically spent the rest of the game trying to hunt down Kylo, which unsuccessfully.
Yep. Yeah, I know that I went at Lorik first. Said, all right, Lorik's got to die. And then I just made sure that Ezra didn't have shots on Kylo, while Kylo just kind of picked them apart. The Ezra was scary. This wasn't the only Ezra I faced this weekend, but The similarity between both Ezras that I did play this weekend is that both took damage on obstacles when Ezra like usually just YOLOs them, like, whatever, this is fine. You know, 50% chance or 12% chance. And it came up aces for me a few times. I was like, oh, okay, I'll take it. But yeah, great game, Will. It was a lot of fun. And we were joking around because we played for the first time, Will and I, last year at Adepticon, and he got it. So I was like, all right, it's my turn, and I got it. All right, so round four, Brandon.
Round four, I went against the guy who had a Time Walk, Asajj, and Boba Fett, which was kind of scary. He had Lone Wolf on him. He sets up his Asajj in the middle, Boba Fett in the left corner from my perspective. I didn't really want to go after Asajj first, but I don't really want to, like, be in a corner going after Boba Fett, because then I just get trapped in a very bad part of the map with both of them. And then Fenn really doesn't do anything against Lone Wolf. So I just kind of went after Asajj anyway, because it was just the best target that presented itself. But luckily for me, he like raced all the way up the map.
Sorry.
Boba. He was going after Fenn pretty hard with Boba, so I managed to just isolate Asajj with the ghost and do a bunch of damage. At one point, I had to break off and split up my two ships. And luckily for me, he was in the corner and he did two turns with both of them, which neither of them cleared. So he was stuck in the corner for a couple of rounds, which let me regroup and swing the ghost around. And then I felt really bad for this guy. His dice were just like hot garbage the whole game. Like, he would activate countermeasures and Glitterstim and Asajj and still take like all but one damage from a ghost primary.
Oh, man.
It was really horrible. But so after I regrouped and he came at me from around a couple of racks, I just rammed whoever I thought was going to be in my front arc, which was Asajj. So I pumped a bunch of damage into Boba. And Fenn did like little plinky damage. But even his Lone Wolves, like his Lone Wolf never procced a single good result for him the entire game. It was just like Lone Wolf blank, Lone Wolf blank, Lone Wolf blank.
All right, Francois, round four.
So round four, I played a gentleman named Dakota, who's from Minnesota. But he was a good opponent. I think yeah, kind of like Brandon, this was a tough game for him. I mean, I played Nathan Oglesby with his triple defenders, and I tried something that did not work. So he had a Vessery Ryad Inquisitor instead of a PS1 defender, but he flew it very similar to Nathan. And so after the championship game, I kind of told the stream my strategy with how I place my rocks to kind of create this like almost like cavern with an open center and have like an entrance to kind of hopefully bait people in there. And my whole point is Miranda's going to three bank, three hard slam and drop a bomb. And with that movement, I still have a chance to two hard right in front of the rock I placed range 7 from my board edge. So I kind of did that, and the defenders came in to that bowl, and you know, I'm TLTing them and whatnot, and Nim is kind of following along with Miranda, but so they're kind of going together a little bit. I thought at one point, at maybe the second or third round, he was going to K-turn, because both Nim and Miranda are sort of facing away at this point. And he's coming. What's that? Okay. So I'm at his side of the board, and he's, I'm like, he's not going to dare to go three bank into my back. And he does. I drop a whole bunch of bombs and I TLT him. And I mean, I'm harpooning Inquisitor, who's kind of trying to pincer me from the front. And it just didn't go well for him. It was sort of a rough game. He didn't get any sort of success with his strategy. So I ended up doing 100-0 to him. And when I got the Inquisitor harpooned, and near dead. I think he was on one hull, and then he ate a bomb as he was trying to get away. And did you know that they were giving away these Bounty Hunter stickers for every time you got a 100-0 win? Yeah, same here, same here. That was cool. But thank you, Dakota. We're a good opponent. I'm sorry about that game.
All right, we got to round five. Nate.
The same guy you played too, it was a guy with the three Qrax fighters. I like have gone over this in my head because me and Marcel like sat up until like, I don't know, 3 o'clock in the morning. He was trying to fly this and everything. He was doing pretty well with it. And I was trying to figure it out. And this is one of the reasons why I switched to engine upgrade, because I couldn't combat this without doing that. It was either, oh, let's go with countermeasures and MF title or something ridiculous. And Dion was the one who said, no, go with the engine upgrade. Ever since then, it's been way better. But he set up across from me. I set up across from him. I was like, oh, if I do a four and then like a boost and a four, then I'm in his face and he can't do the things. And instead, he decided to do a hard two. And I just went, huh, okay. And then I just drove right up on him because he basically, like, I was straight across from Murray. The next lane over was Miranda. He decided he wanted to do hard two, straight hard two towards Miranda. And I'm like, okay, thanks for letting me get close to you. And then he wanted to go straight at Miranda. Miranda said, okay, I'll do a three and another three, and now I'm behind you. And you're out of position. Here's Ray, by the way. It's like kind of like, you know, How I Met Your Mother. Have you met Ray? So I just was blowing up Talonbane before Talonbane even did one damage and everyone else, and just went down really, really quickly. So yeah. It's just funny how, like, yo, the hard matchup for one person is like, yo, a different kind of matchup for another person. But he was really, really nice guy. Really cool and fun to play with.
William, round five.
Well, my round five was against the Inquisitor and then Push Riad and a Adaptability X7. What's the pilot skill 6 defender? The named one.
Glaive?
Vessery.
Glaive.
Yeah, Vessery. So,
Vessery, sorry.
And he had actually gone down to 5, which I thought was weird to match me, but I guess I had taken initiative, so it didn't really matter. He was still moving after me. He was just shooting. Yeah, he was moving after me and shooting after me too. So I guess it really didn't matter if he was 7 or 5. Let's see, how did that go up? So, after the opening engagement, I had actually we had a long discussion about X7 versus stress, and then we're like, okay, so it's an action. So he won't get it while stressed. And then we, after spending about 5 minutes discussing that, and right. Then we had the a Briad 5K'd, cleared the stress, and then I snapshotted him, and then we had to call a judge over because he didn't understand how snapshot was triggering before X7, because they're both after executing. Exactly, which is, I chose the initiative for that reason.
Right, because you had the initiative.
I don't think that he was matched up against stress mechanics, which is why it was confusing for him, or he just wasn't familiar with the rulings on it. But we all worked it out, and eventually... I had disengaged Miranda, and I had the defenders in tow. They were both double or triple stressed. They weren't taking any actions. They couldn't clear them. They were hitting bombs, and eventually they had killed Miranda. They all three focus fired on Miranda and killed her, and so I ended up trading Miranda for Riad and some of Vessery. I think all three shields off of Vessery. And then Ezra and Lork trapped Vessery in a corner with no actions and killed him. And then we turned to the Inquisitor, And I thought it was going to be a long, drawn-out game. I was like, okay, well, he's pretty good. He's going to try to avoid my arcs with his Inquisitor. And it ended up being a snapshot on his Inquisitor. Two hits, he blanked out, stripped both shields. He shot at me, rolled one hit, and it didn't matter because I had Lorik reinforced. So threw the reinforced at it. My dice didn't matter.
Oh.
Ezra then throws down three hits on his primary. The Inquisitor only rolls one evade, and the Inquisitor is off the board. So even though I lost Miranda, I was able to still pull it off.
Alrighty, so my round five was against Nathan Idy. At this point, we're both 4-0. I'm at table one. We had played, this is actually something kind of funny. We had played this, not this same matchup, because he didn't play Corrin against me, but when I went up to Wisconsin to record the top 50 Invitational Final, before I left, we were able to play a game, and the only thing I had with me was my Kylo and two adaptability boats, and he played some like Asajj plus two Star Viper lists for funsies. And of course, I mean, I played my list the way I would normally play it, and you know, we kind of had a laugh. I'm like, well, you see, you got to see me play, got to see all my strats. He goes, dude, you've streamed me how many times now? You know mine. I'm like, you know what? You're right. So, we set up, and I was pretty sure, I was like, he's going to be super cagey because my Kylo is worth more than his Corrin. He's going to wait for me to be impatient, and I just have to be more patient than he is. And, we positioned for about 40 minutes, and then, I got impatient first is basically what happened. I lost a gunboat, and that was the game. Like, that was it. It was super exciting. Nothing happened. So, fun. It was definitely a lot of fun. And he was doing this really cool, like, sideways shimmy thing with his lists and coordinate and flight assist, where he was just basically moving laterally across his board edge really, really slowly with barrel rolls and all this. And, I said, so I just needed basically for you to wait for you to get to the end of the board, and I would have been able to attack you. And he goes, yep. I didn't wait. I needed to wait maybe like six more turns and didn't do it. I didn't have the patience. So I'll get him next time. I'll get you next time, Nathan. Brandon, round five.
Round five was, I think, the guy that you played against in round three. He had the three gunboats with harpoons and Lashatkin.
Yeah, Bashy.
Is that a nickname or is that his real name?
I have no idea. That's what he told me.
It's a pretty cool name either way. So yeah, he sets up his guys. I set up. I don't really want to joust this because he's got Flechette Cannon, which shuts down Fen. So he's going to just shoot my Fen with the Flechette guy. And if he hits me, I can't shut down anyone else. So I tried to play like a cute little maneuver of just trying to out-arc him with a boost. And I guess he saw that coming because he just slammed all his guys away into my corner. Out of range, and then Fen is basically alone at this point, so I'm kind of in a bad position. I have to turn my ghost around. He wasn't in a spot to K-turn, so I have to now navigate these rocks for two or three turns just to get him back to range of the gunboats. So I have to play runaway with Fen for three or four rounds, and he basically got to a point where I should have done a three bank away and then flight assisted, but I did the two bank instead and didn't get far enough away. So he had shots with two of his guys. Shoots the Flechette one, or I guess they all had Flechette, didn't they? They all had Flechette, and yeah,
so, all of them. They were all
so
identical.
Whatever one he shoots first, he's just going to shoot Flechette and basically make me waste my Fen ability on that if I don't want to get hit. So I don't do it. I just hope to just avoid it naturally, which I don't. So I'm stressed. So I can't shut down the other one. And then he just obliterates me with a harpoon. And then I have ghost versus basically fully healthy gunboats. So, I mean, my win condition is nothing because I know I'm just going to die because he's just going to keep reloading these things.
Right.
So, okay. I just, you know, go full steam ahead, try to get a block on one of them. Hope that the other ones are range one to where they can't harpoon me, and then Hope I get a good primary attack. I blocked one of them, but he was kind of in like a triangle formation. So even though I neutered one of them, his other two are still far enough back to where they can both harpoon me. And they do, and I'm very sad because they take lots of damage. And then he splits them off into like a, you know, one goes straight, one goes right, slams, one goes left, slams. So I'm basically just taking whatever shot I have with primaries at that point. Two of them get pretty low. I eventually kill one of them, but with the constant reloading and then constant slamming away to where I can't really get to them, he just takes me out with harpoons.
I do. Francois, round five.
So round five, I face Bronze Adams. I think he's a crate in Milwaukee. He was flying two Hemogeas. I haven't flown against these guys too much, but I think it was Dalen and Torani and a Captain Nim, a scum Captain Nim with all with harpoons. They're basically all on nines. And so the board was set up where there was one rock on his edge, almost two and two, and one on my edge, almost two and two. And the rest of the rocks were kind of on the other half where they were diagonal, almost going from corner to corner. So I kind of decided I'm going to maybe fly Miranda along that corner or try to get to those rocks, again, dropping a bomb to prevent any sort of chase, you know, and have them come to me. And then I'll turn around and see if I can harpoon him, but I'm going to soften him up a little bit. So he really was slow rolling his fleet, one forward. And but he was able to target lock Miranda with all three. And so I had to be really cagey with Miranda as PS8 when he's all at nines. So I kind of just kept her out of the fight. And he was kind of doing ones and the bombs, and I trajectory simulated a couple that in case he turned into, you know, chase Miranda. But he ended up kind of ending up on my side of the board, and I was circling the rocks to kind of come back and approach, and he was going really slow rolling. So essentially the fight after some positioning came where Miranda stayed away because she had all the target locks on her, and I just didn't want her lit up. And I just plunged Nim into that corner as he was going around the rocks. And he had to split his arcs quite a bit, but he ended up eating two protons and thermals and a harpoon. And, I mean, Nim did, like, I think 9 damage we totaled in one round between bombs and a harpoon. And he got hurt back, but as I was flying away, he basically just ate bombs, and it just crippled him. He ended up getting Nim on a couple lucky shots, I think. But, you know, he played it well, but he ended up getting Nim, but I was able to get two of his ships. So I won on points, 61-52. Close game, but eventually, when he switched his target locks to Nim, I was able to bring Miranda to kind of help support and take out one of his ships.
Nate, round six. What's going on in your matchup? Tell me, since this is the last round of Swiss, we'll give you guys 3 minutes because there's more drama.
Well,
here.
In this round, I'm like, well, not only do I have to win this, but I have to get 100-0 because if I don't, then I probably won't make the cut because we're doing top 16, but there's few people here. So a couple 4-2s will make it. I just have to make sure I do that. I go against Dakota, which I think you guys went against. He was the same Imperial player and everything. And with the two Defenders and Inquisitor. And I'm thinking, okay, let's see how this is going to go. He comes right after Miranda and just starts like beating her up, and I'm trying to like pull in and attack and keep the Inquisitor off of Miranda, and I'm not doing a very good job of doing that. We had one of those really, really contentious games where it was one of those moments we were playing on a bad mat. The mat itself was like puffy, it had like these weird bubbles to it and everything, and he doesn't have weighted bases. I have weighted bases just because like many people, I don't like it when you like kind of touch things and it moves things microscopically. We had about three or four of these moments where like millimeters mattered, and we contested them, called a judge. Three out of the four of them were kind of rolled in his favor. And so, and the last one, he tried to barrel roll against Miranda, hit me with his nub. And I was like, you know what? Three of these have gone in your favor. This one, I'm pretty sure you didn't make it, and you've been kind of nudging things around. I'm going to take this one. And so from there, it just went kind of in my favor. He pulled an Inquisitor in front of Rey. Rey said, hi, and then blew him apart. And then he just kept on screaming after Miranda. And as Miranda just ran away, he just threw both defenders straight at her, and Rey just came up behind. And I felt like it was one of those games that brings out the worst in you, because it was high stakes. It was stressful. Both of us wanted to win. Both of, like, everything was hairline, you know, measurements. So we were kind of like, geez, what do we do? What do we call? The mat sucks. Everything has been bumped a little bit and brought the worst. And so he's a good guy, and he took it nicely. And I felt like I wanted to buy the guy a drink afterwards, because I felt like I wasn't the best player to be with. And it was just not the best thing. It was just one of those games where I feel like it wasn't a good matchup, and it felt like a dirty win to me. And I apologize to Dakota if you're listening, and I owe you a beer.
Well, so you say dirty because you were being picky with the positioning of the ships. Just, you know, like I don't think
arguing about whether things dirty are in arc or not, and when they're hairline. I feel like, you know, when you have to contest those things so many times, it becomes like a dirty. I don't know. This makes me feel stressed.
No, I would if you need to. If it's that close every time, and it's the round before the cut, if you need the judge to measure arc every round, you call the
mat
judge.
And like, you know, I hate when people have like the light bases where like every tiny little thing changes their arc and moves them, and you're like, damn it, this is game about millimeters. Yeah. So but that was enough to get me into the top 16, and I was 14th. So yeah, there we go.
All right, William, round six.
Okay, so the the last round of Swiss, I faced four harpoon gunboats, all with long range scanners and an academy pilot. He had mentioned something about trying to go all in on Miranda, which I kind of made a mental note of that. Alan's like, well, if he tries it, you know, be aware of that. So I actually kind of flanked my Miranda a bit, didn't keep her in formation with the other two. Ended up, let's see. So the one I tried to harpoon of his, he slammed into range one, so I couldn't. And then we got some early shots on the Academy, and he fired off two harpoons and a range one shot on Lorik to kill him. Activated both of the harpoon conditions with a crit, which ended up killing Lorik there. And then we just traded the Academy for Lorik, which isn't great. Had a good time with Ezra, being able to stress them so they couldn't really slam around effectively, because they needed, those gunboats need the locks with long range, and they need to reload, so they have a lot of time to take off in between engagements. I was able to kind of slow them down, keep the ones that had harpoons out of my Miranda out of their arc, so they couldn't fire off the harpoons. Ended up trading my Ezra for two of the harpoon gunboats.
That's a good trade.
Miranda's TLT was doing work there because they really couldn't, but they were too busy not taking focuses, being reloading, target locking. So I was able to focus down one, and then Ezra and Miranda took down the other one. And then I believe it wasn't until that point in the game and when he asked me how much my Miranda was worth. And I kind of gave a smile and said 45, which is one more point than his two gunboats. And then it was a game of cat and two cats and a mouse. Me just trying to, I was trying to take down one of the gunboats so I could just win on points much more easily. And it ended up being, I believe, the last round. He came in for two harpoon shots, and I just slammed out of range and the harpoon that he shot couldn't kill me. I had three shields and a couple hulls. So unfortunately, it wasn't a feel good win. Because I don't particularly like running. I was trying to kill the gunboat, but like I said, it wasn't a feel good last round of just me slamming out and then basically saying you can't win now. But you know, last game to guarantee a spot in the cut, you got to do what you got to do.
So my round six, I'm going in 5-1. My only loss is Nathan Idy, and I got to play against Bronze, which Francois played in round five. So up until he met Francois, he was sitting at 4-0, and then lost to Francois. So we're both 4-1 at this point. He has the triple nines that we talked about, two Kimojilas and Nim with Auto Blaster, Boba Fett, Extreme Munitions, Adaptability, Chips, Harpoons. Tarani Kolda had the R5TK droid, just in case he wants to trigger a harpooned as like a dead man switch kind of idea, where he, if one of his own ships become harpooned, he can kill it if need be to set off a little chain reaction. He had Adaptability, Harpoon, and Chips on Tarani. And Dalen Obros with VI to get him up to 9 harpoon ships. And him being at pilot skill 9 and being 100 points, I had Kylo at pilot skill 9. I, of course, gave him the initiative, and I was able to just... The mistake, in my opinion, that he made was that he took all three of them and put them... Very similar to what the gunboat player did earlier. He took all three of them, started them in the corner, and just went like three straight, three bank. Like he was very predictable. And I, you know, I just kind of looked at the point laid down and said, all right, I gotta kill Nim. He's the most dangerous one because he has the auto blaster turret. So I target locked with my boats on Nim, and pretty much I was super cagey with Kylo until I could get behind the Kimogilas. And I did. I had basically a little opportunity to do a pincer. So I had. It's not even a pincer. It's more of a phalanx. But he was kind of. I had a gunboat behind him. Kylo was on the side, and the other gunboat on the other side. And he basically had to choose what to go after. And he chose to go at the gunboat. So then Kylo just came from behind and just tore him apart. Just ranged one shots, you know, 3-4 turns in a row, on the Kimogilas. Nim ends up dying to harpoon missiles. I win 100-0 on that one, at the end of the game. I will admit that he shot two harpoon missiles, at my boats and did a total of 2 damage. He had like the worst dice I had seen all weekend. And he probably doesn't. One of my gunboats ends up with 1 health at the end, so he probably ends up killing one. But I end up winning that game, I think, even if he's able to kill one of my boats. But good game, Bronze. I know that he was a little bit upset, but he couldn't do anything about Kylo because he spent so much time on the gunboats. And Brandon, round 6.
Round 6 was a mirror match. Ghost versus Ghost, Fen versus Fen. We were both pretty tired.
You deserve each other?
No, we should not knock each other out at that late in the game. We should all advance. All the ghosts should advance. but it was basically like the alley fight with Roddy Piper and They Live. Just like two things coming together and just beating the shit out of each other. Because it was late, we're like, "Hey, do I want to fly this and try to like do cutesy little moves and do this?" We're just like, "Nah, we're just gonna smash into each other." Sorry,
PG. I'm gonna have to move there.
So we just joust, or we start in the corners, but then we're just like, "I don't want to deal with rocks. Let's just turn into each other and joust." So both Fens die in a glorious explosion the first round. Like, I just obliterate his, he obliterates mine, and then we're just like circling each other with the ghost. It wasn't very dramatic. It was just basically dice versus dice, and then I won. it wasn't exciting. It
worked out.
I mean, we could have just played the entire thing with the dice app and no models, just like, okay, you roll four dice. Okay, now I roll four dice. And whoever gets the total first.
So you practice rolling your dice.
It's basically it. It's just like, I'm stressed, so I'll get an Ezra crit, and you're not, so you don't. So that's like, that was it.
Yeah. And Francois, your last round of Swiss.
Yeah, so I was 5-0, and my opponent was Alex. What was his last name? Alex Greisman. He was 5-0. He was flying his Ghost Fen, and I'm a little scared of the amount of firepower and whatnot there. But since this game really didn't matter too much, I decided, I heeded your warning, Dion. You're like, hey, you might see him again. Curse of the Swiss, you know. But I was like, I want some practice against the Ghost. I'm going to just not do anything too inventive. So I just jousted him, see what would happen. He ended up controlling the range much better than I did, and I wasn't able to get two harpoons into the Ghost at initial engagement. So, in essence, I lost that game, but it was really fun at the end because I got the Ghost down to one hull. He was facing the corner like a child with a dunce hat, right? He was ready to fly off the board. He let the shuttle out, did a 4K, and it was perfect because Miranda was dead, but I had Nim where I hard turned. I could drop a bomb and then barrel roll and be in the flank of the shuttle. So I was going to get hit by my own bomb, but I'm like, yeah, what can happen, right? I mean, I think I had 4 health left. Like, this is okay. I don't want to get shot by TLTs, so I'm just going to do this. And I got blinded pilot, so now I'm pretty vulnerable. I think, actually, I wasn't at 4. I think I'm remembering correctly. I think I was at 2 health. So I have to decide now, because he's either going to, try to turn around, and I might have one shot on him, because I think at this point he did K-turn, but I'm trying to remember. I think there was one round in between, because he was going to K-turn, and I knew he was going to do that, and I think I had a crit already where I was, if I overlap obstacles, I take damage. So I was like, I don't know if I want to turn into him or run. And I ended up deciding to run, and basically I just couldn't get turned around to try to harpoon him and PS kill him before he got his couple damage in that he needed to kill Nim. So I lost that game 82-100, where all he had left was his Zeb shuttle, and it was enough. But that was a fun game to just joust that list.
For sure.
Yeah,
I'm glad you gave up too many secrets in that
thing. You know, that's the kitted out Lothal. I don't know if that's standard, but that's what. Yeah,
that, I mean, it has become standard for sure. All right, so at this point, you know, we Gold Squadron is sitting pretty good. Our top 16, you have, so I'll go down in Swiss ranking. You had Nathan Idy, Alex Greisman, Nicholas Tobin, Chicago area local, so that's one for Chicago. Scott Coons at 4, myself at 5, Francois at the 6th seed, Kevin Idy at 7, William Hagwood at 8, Grover Murphy at 9, Dan Ryan at 10, Jeremy Tratt at 11, Sarah Teslam at 12, Andrew Goldbach at 13, Nate Moore at 14, Brandon Prokos at 15, and Jason Vol at 16. So out of the top 16, we had 5 Gold Squadron members in there. We were super pumped about that. It was really exciting after Swiss, when we went back to our Airbnb, and we spent, you know, a couple hours just chatting up and talking about matchups and all this stuff. It was a great time to just really, we ate some food and stuff, and just you know, it was good to just hang out and just be excited about tomorrow and the possibilities of bringing Gold Squadron the glory of the regional championship. So what we'll do now is you guys know already that Francois won. What we'll do is we'll just kind of give highlights of the cut. We were running a little bit long per person, and we'll give most of the time to Francois.
Okay, thank you. So my versus Grover, he is flying an expertise ray, no engine, and then a fire control system, auto blaster, Hera Inspiring Recruit Lothal. We ended up, he cut through the middle with the Lothal leading the charge, and then we kind of engaged from the other side through a tight debris field. And he ended up getting obstructed on the Lothal on the first round of combat, but I was able to shoot the 5-dice harpoon, a range 2, and a stress shot from a Ezra. Did a bunch of damage to him, and he shot at my Ezra, but I don't think he did much. I think I selflessnessed it. I don't quite remember, but he didn't do any significant damage in the first round of combat between Ray at range 3 and the Lothal at range 2. And then he 2-4s his Lothal, clears both stress with the Inspiring Recruit. But I ended up snapshotting him because he didn't bump. He either bumped into Lorik or he didn't. Regardless, he didn't bump Ezra. And Ezra got an extremely lucky double crit off the snapshot, triggered the harpoon, and then the crits were direct. So 5 damage snapshot. And then, I was bracing the table for a flip after that. And he blocked both Ezra and Lorik, and Miranda kind of avoided that preemptively. And Miranda shot a powered up range 1 at the Ghost, put it down to just 2 hull. And then Ray shot into Ezra, doing some damage, and his Lothal did a 1-hit auto blaster into my Miranda to strip the 3rd shield then. At that point, I had positioned to just TLT the Ghost off the board with whatever maneuver he did. And then we would just try to disengage from Ray and line up for another round. He 5K'd his Lothal, and he was just off the board by maybe like 0.5 centimeter or so, which he kind of shrugged and said, well, it's going to die anyways. So it wasn't a big deal. And then we circled back around after some shots from Ray as we disengaged and came back. And his Ray killed my Ezra, and we stripped all of the shields with a couple range 1s from Miranda and Lorik into Ray, and then he slooped onto a bomb, started rifling off shots onto Lorik, because that's kind of the right call there. You'd just be lucky. Oh, that's right. I didn't use my selflessness in the first round of combat, so he really couldn't shoot at Miranda and do significant damage, and we ended up just killing him. Some good bomb rolls and some good TLT rolls ended up taking him down. So that was not... I was blessed by the dice on that one. It made it an easier game than I think it should have been. I ended up top 8 then was against Nathan Idy. Great game, very fun. We ended up doing the honorable joust because we weren't really sure what else to do against each other. But he played his core and very smart. I believe made a mistake. I had an opportunity to block his Koran and maybe get a snapshot, but I didn't execute it. Went all in on his Finn instead. Didn't take him down. Ended up trading his Finn Rao for my Lorik. And then eventually his Koran hunted down Ezra to kill him. And my Miranda was struggling to kill his Lorik. And at that point, it was 45 Miranda versus a full health 48-point Koran. And I really didn't have a win condition. I'd already spent my harpoon and was down on health as well. So I tried my best, but he ended up double tapping me off the board. And that was it. There's not much I could do against, you know, what Nathan's ranked 3 right now in the nation, national champion. So I can't. I got him last year at Adepticon, and he got me this year at this regional. And I will take that trade of wins there for sure.
All right, let's just, I'll start the recording.
Okay.
And you can just jump in. And Nate, can you go ahead and let us know how your top 16 run ended?
I went against Nick Tobin, and me and Nick have been squaring off for years and everything. I thought I flew well, but then I got into this weird position where I did a hard 2 because I wanted to make sure that I could have Nim in my sights and try to throw 5 dice at Nim, which I did, and it did a lot of damage. But I'd also left Ray in this position where he threw a trajectory to thermal. I got hit by it. I didn't think I would, but it just barely got me. And I was also out of arc on Asajj, who threw 4 dice at me. So it just put me in this really not great position. And I got Nim, but then I kind of lost Ray. And then it was kind of Miranda versus Asajj. Miranda got Ioned, of all things. And then it was just Asajj versus Miranda. I'm like, oh, but I'm pretty healthy, except that I was stressed. I couldn't do anything. I was going through rocks, and I was Ioned, and I was like, oh, well, crap. And so he had expertise and kept throwing 3 hits, and I was like, I'm throwing nothing, and I just melted. There's not all I could do. My bombs did nothing. Just he flew better than me, and he deserved the win. So it was really good.
All right, Brandon, how did your cut end up? You got 3 minutes for what happened.
All righty. So top 16, another mirror match right off the bat. Although his is slightly better in his favor because he has R3A2 on his Fen, which is not good because it shuts down my ability to maul. So I'm basically stuck either target locking or coordinating a target lock, which means I'm not doing either doing both a evade and a boost. So that kind of stinks from my end. So at one point he has to hard 2 around a rock and it doesn't fit. And he deploys his Zeb. So I do 5 extra damage to him, primary plus TLT, and at that point it's just his Fen is, or his ghost is dead. I have a couple points of damage on my ghost and a hull, but I have basically a healthy ghost and a Zeb that I can just toss whenever I want. So he just, he knows it's over. He won forwards, I won forward, I kill his Zeb, and that was it. Second game, top 8, I played Kevin Eide. I don't want to joust this at all because he's got Fen on his ghost, and he's got coordinate for target locks, and he's just, I don't ever want to see that front arc, but I basically have to because he's turtling up at the corner for a while. So I do the Taco Bell strategy, which is swoop around and shoot hot fire out of your ass with a ghost.
Taco Bell strategy? Is that what you call it?
That's the Taco Bell strategy.
Okay. You heard it here first.
So...
Yep, that's you're coining it. It's done.
So, he's got all his guys bunched up. If I boost, I'm not going to get anything. So I basically just stay there, hope for the best. He gets maybe 4 hits on my ghost. Or no, he gets 3 hits the first round. I do nothing because he has Lorik and he has an evade token and he has Ezra. So my Ezra dies pretty much immediately. And it's, my Ezra dies immediately. So I just run into the corner, trying to just throttle range 3 of as much as I can. He kind of bumps for a bit, so he doesn't have Lorik's reinforce. So it takes maybe 1 or 2 rounds to kill Lorik because of his selflessness damage that he already had and without the reinforce. So let's see what else. At that point, I'm facing a corner, not really a position I want to be in. So his Ezra was heavily stressed because he had R3A2. And at that point, he was basically trading shots with my Fen to kill my Fen. And then he had like four stresses on him. And he's just trying to chase me. So he's just doing three banks the whole time. Not really removing anything. So, I mean, he's basically kind of out of the fight. I get into a corner. I decide, all right, this is time. I have four hit points on me. Just poop out my Zeb. So I poop out Zeb. I do a hard turn, boost forward so that he has to ram me so he doesn't have shots on anyone with the ghost. And then my plan is, okay, he doesn't have the ass shot. All he has is auto blaster. He doesn't have TLT. If I can swing my Zeb around to kill his Ezra or his Fen, or whatever he is, Ezra, Fen, I don't know, his stealth beat. If I could swing that guy around and I have a wounded ghost and Zeb versus his ghost, I like my odds. So all I have to do is really just kind of stall things a bit with the ghost, kill his stealthipede with Ezra, and I could just double team him for whatever he has left, which is a lot because I didn't really do any damage. So I kill him, and then I swing my Zeb around. I K-turn, shoot him. He's got a K-turn, comes back at me. We just kind of do that like little dance around the middle for a while I swing my Zeb closer. Zeb is kind of doing damage. I mean, it's not doing a whole, like, the amount that I wanted. Like, every roll will be, like, hit, blank, focus. And depending if I had to barrel roll for arc, I'll do, like, one damage. So...
How dare you roll on
him? I know, it's like, come on, Zeb. Zeb has never been the hero for me, and, like, whenever I deploy him, he just blanks. So I'm just like, whatever, Zeb. Maybe one day you'll be the hero. One time, I successfully block his K-turn, and I get a pretty good shot into him. I have to go into the corner, and this is kind of like when time is, like, we have, like, 3 minutes left, so we both kind of, like, go into super fast mode. And at one point, I think I'm going to block something with Zeb, but I don't. I go too far forward. I did, like, a four straight. And... at this point, I have like one hit point left on my ghost. So I hard two out of the corner. And then when I'm trying to think of like Zeb's action, because to speeding things up, he's like doing a maneuver for one of my guys while I'm doing the other one. And I'm thinking about Zeb's action. And he's like, do you want to boost with the ghost? And I'm like, sure. And at that point, I know, like, I just boosted into his arc because he does a two bank. I figure that he's going to probably do a two turn and just get me anyway in arc because he just wants to just guarantee that he kills me. But Marcel Layers, like, screams at me. He's like, no, why did you boost into his arc? So at that point, I'm like, all right, well, my ghost is dead. And now I went too far with Zeb, so I have no shot on him. And... time was called and he had killed my ghost. And I'm like, damn it. If I had just stayed where I was.
No.
But I figured, I mean, all right, boost, maybe if he whiffs, I get a TLT and I could do two damage. But he killed me and he did not whiff because he had Fen and a billion rerolls and everything. So it was so close. It was like my engagement was horrible. But there were several points throughout the game where I'm just like, all right, I can just double tap him, or I can double team him with Zeb, and I could probably get this. And I think it was like that one turn at the end where I boosted that pretty much just screwed me over.
Sorry, man. Well, good run. Good run. We got the dice.
Got the dice.
Feeling good. My cut top 16 game was against Sarah Tessum. She was flying Nora Wexley with Push the Limit, Kyle Katarn, R2-D2 engine upgrade, an Ezra R3-A2 Snapshot Hera. It's the same one that William had been running. And Lorik with Predator Ray Tactician. And pretty much my win condition here is that Kylo is worth more than Nora Wexley. So kill Ezra, kill Lorik, win the game. And that's pretty much how it went down. You know, I wanted to see if she would be willing to spread out her formation, and she didn't at first, so I had to be super patient, and then I was able to pick off Ezra. I did get a absolutely baller blinded pilot crit when I had Kylo in Ezra's arc. But Ezra was by himself, so I wasn't too worried about getting a single stress, but it worked out. So I was like, oh, that's even better. One unfortunate thing that happened, she flew her Ezra through two debris on purpose. I mean, you have only a 12% chance, right, of rolling a crit, and she did it twice. And gave herself some other crit that I'm not remembering off the top of my head.
Oh,
but that put her, put it really, really far behind in the damage race early. She gets this blinded pilot on Ezra. And then I was like, well, let me just use Kylo to chase down Ezra. And then Ezra ends up being range 3 through a rock. And I have a focus plus my one reroll at range 3. And I dig in 3 hits and she blanks out. And that killed Ezra. So Ezra never got to stress anybody. And then it was 2 gunboats and Kylo versus Lorik and Nora. One of my gunboats ended up going down, but it ends up being the end game of Kylo versus Nora. And I went on time there.
Yeah.
Then my top 8 match was against the eventual runner up that Francois will talk about, Andrew Goldbach. And that game was on stream, so you guys can watch that one. And basically, I had a very clear win condition throughout the game. And in my opinion, I threw away the game at the end by being hyper aggressive. There was a point at which I shouldn't have K-turned Kylo. And I do. And I end up taking a Hawk, ends up doing 2 damage to me with its TLTs. And then end up getting blocked. And then Crimson Specialist from range 2 ends up being able to kill me. So you can watch that game on stream. I'm not going to talk about it too much because I was not very happy with myself. But yeah. So that was my top 16 and top 8 game. Francois, I know we're running short on time, but
yeah,
you got the floor. Give us the highlights. I know you really want to talk about Nathan's game and probably the final.
Yeah, well, I guess I've been giving props to Marcel and William for helping me because they went faced Jeremy and Kevin Idy with the same list with that monster, Kanan, Lorik, Fenn. And so I was able to get the perfect engagement on my top 16 match and just put 2 harpoons and bombs on the Kanan, and he was down to 5 hull, and I got a clutch blinded pilot, and it ended up being a close game because I ate some of my bombs as I was departing the initial engagement to take out Kanan. And so Lorik and Fenn, mistakes were made letting go of a bomb that I probably shouldn't have, that really hurt me and didn't hurt him, but I ended up pulling that one out just without Kanan ever firing a shot because of the blinded pilot on that initial engagement. But I got to say, all my opponents were awesome, gracious, great. Jeremy was so fun to play against because we bantered and had fun while we were, rolling dice. The second game was completely different with Nick Tobin. We were just playing chess with our pieces around the board, and we only fired at each other 3 times. We softened our NIMs a little bit with TLT shots, and he kind of got ahead in the damage race with an Asajj. Just barely clipping me. And we did it again with TLT shots. I had 4 hull left, and I think he had, he was down 4 shields. So he had 2 hits extra on his NIM, and I did. But as time was called, I was able to get Miranda in, do a 5 dice harpoon at NIM, and NIM was able to get out of the way of NIM, who had me target locked, but Asajj was able to take a shot, not do enough damage to do 4, and I was able to obliterate his NIM with a 5 dice harpoon. So that was just a brutal game mentally, where you're going around and around and around just trying to get a good engagement, and with both of us having trajectory simulator NIMs, it's just a cat and mouse game a little bit. The top 4 was against Nathan Idy, which I've never faced Nathan. Obviously, I've known him by reputation, and the end result was he said this was the closest game he's ever played. I think we went back and forth changing advantage 5 times in the game, and it just came down to a little bit of, well, it was, I got the initial engagement I wanted. If we're going to do broad strokes here, I thought he was going to be cagey. I came in to try to pincer him. He ended up turning his Corrin horn in, and I was able to get a harpoon into him and do damage. And long story short, I played aggressive and turned Miranda in to try to get another harpoon into Corrin. He'd already taken 2 at this point, and he was pretty hurt. But I turned Nim in such a way where he was, his backside was facing his fleet, and a proton torpedo was inevitable. And so I knew Corrin was going down. But my biggest mistake was I stripped a shield off Miranda to try to do a 4-dice primary into Corrin to try to go for the dream shot, because he had tokened up and he had Lorik and all that. And that probably set up the next piece of luck that was going to keep this exciting. Is I am basically now at 4 hull because I threw bombs that I'm eating on Miranda, and Fen rolls 3 dice as I'm range 1 on Fen at this point, and he gets hit crit. I blank out, and I end up getting a pilot skill 0 and another stress with loose stabilizer. We're in such a place where I can get a bomblet on Fen in a couple more rounds, and he's stuck in a corner, in his corner where he deployed. So I'm thinking I'm feeling okay now, because I got Miranda at 1 health, and I'm coasting. Nim ran away. He's at 4 health after taking a double tap from Corrin at the initial engagement. But Corrin's dead, Fen's dead. He's got a 6. Let me see. I think it was a 6 hit point Lorik with his selflessness that he took some of the proton the harpoon damage off of Corrin. But I got the PS, and I got Miranda that's just sitting there, you know, and I out point fortress Lorik. So I go in and I do another harpoon missile into him and do 3 more damage with so he's down to 3, if I remember correctly, and he gets a shot back. I'm at 4 hit points now, through a rock. And he gets hit, crit. I blank out, and the mythical beast exists. I get the major explosion into direct hit, and Nim dies. So now all of a sudden, I am looking like I'm a PS0 Miranda against a 3 hit point Lorik with about 10 minutes left, and I'm suddenly looking like I got to run away for 10 minutes or what. So at first, I'm thinking I'm going to try to go in for a slam bump and maybe let the bomblet do the damage as I go away. And that's what I look like I'm going to do. And then I second guess myself and I decide I'm going to start running away. And the end of the story is he gets 2 shots on Miranda with Lorik, 1 3 dice, and he gets hit, blank, focus, rerolls the focus to blank, and I got 1 evade, and I get it. So I'm still alive. I managed to get into my corner where I deployed again, like I'm wearing a dunce hat in a corner, you know, I'm going to fly off the board the next round. This is the last round. He gets a shot again. And he gets 2 hits. I am at range 3 this time. So I get 2 greens and I roll natties and I'm able to win on points. going home thinking about this game, I felt a little like luck won it for me, but I think the luck of rolling three vades on three dice is probably not as great as the hit crit crits that he got two times in a row at such crucial points that I guess I don't necessarily feel too bad about this win after I really think about it. I mean, you looked at it. What do you think? I made some mistakes. Awesome. Going a little aggressive and stretching out Miranda too far to try to get a corn, but.
Right. So that was, you know, when we've talked about games and stuff like that, the thing that it's with any player, right? The thing that'll kill you is when you overextend and you don't need to. So like we were talking, I was like, man, that going after Lorik there so aggressive and not just TLTing, that was a little selfish. And like I remember Marcel and I, we stepped away and we said this could be bad. It was bad.
The biggest mistake was the Miranda overstretching, but I thought with Nim with four health left and two dice defense from his primary, I was feeling like any other crits wouldn't matter.
The problem,
I don't care if turns are red because he was right, coming towards a board edge where I'm not going to kill him with my harpoon, but the next round he either has to fly away or he has to come towards me and I can throw a bomb in there and PS kill him. And so.
Sure. But you also have like, you won the regional. So it worked out, but you also have one agility and no mods on the defense. So I screwed up
but
too.
It
right?
was
so
just such
whatever,
a,
it happens.
I mean, I guess I felt like it deserved the game because of the initial engagement, but man, that variance was so made the game like so exciting with that back and forth feeling of who had the advantage.
Yep. And now while that game wasn't streamed, I did, there was a comment, what do I call it? A thread on the Gold Squadron podcast, Facebook page, and I actually have not quite round by round, but it was most of the rounds, the positioning and updates on the health. So if you guys want to take a look at that, you can kind of see the play by play on that match, even though it wasn't streamed.
Well, the final,
hey, Francois, let's go ahead and jump to the final.
Was I guess I was really on adrenaline at that point with that game, and the final it was Andrew, right? He was a great opponent, but I felt as though I had that game from pretty early on. I was, again, very content to just pretend like I'm going to joust his list with Miranda and with Nim kind of doing a pincer. And this game has been streamed, so I guess I don't have to go over it too much. But I just outbombed him, and the harpoon that he threw at Miranda didn't do very much, and mine just really crippled his Crimson Specialist. And I mean, I totally forgot about keeping him accountable to his crits, which you'll see on stream, but I just felt like it really didn't matter. I had the game won. I was pretty healthy. And when the Crimson Specialist went down and my Miranda was pretty full, I wasn't too afraid of what was left because both harpoons was expended from Nim, and I guess the TLT can do some work against one agility ships, but he ended up calling it after I just really crippled his Nim with a five dice harpoon, and you know he could have done some damage to Miranda, but not enough to really make. Matter when I could fly boost her away and he was in the middle of some rocks that wasn't going to really work out to have him chase me. So he ended up calling it after about 40 minutes of play. But I felt pretty good after the initial engagement there.
Fantastic. Well, Francois, man, congratulations. I know that you had been stressing because we had gone to three regionals already, and you hadn't even made the cut, but you went from that to winning it. So congratulations, my friend.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I was like making a career out of just missing the cuts and making mistakes like I made in Nathan Idy's game where I just cost me. So I got to definitely clean up my game, and it's great to finally win one. So thank you very much.
And you got your seat at Worlds, so
that's probably the best bonus of all this. Is I was really bummed I didn't get the invite for Worlds, and now I get to go. So I'm stoked.
Do you live in the Chicagoland area or plan on visiting? Come on down to Pastimes Comics and Games, the home of Gold Squadron, where we play X-Wing every Wednesday and have tournaments the first Sunday of every month. We also play Imperial Assault, Armada, LCG, and Destiny on different days. Visit our Facebook page, Pastimes Star Wars, for more information.
There we go. Well, I want to say a huge thank you to everybody who listened to the show today. And you can watch live X-Wing events and content at twitch.tv/Gold Squadron Podcast. We have upcoming the Michigan Regional and the Hoth Open / Chicago System Open. You can watch our videos and replays of our streams on our YouTube channel. Just go ahead and look up Gold Squadron Podcast. We currently have an awesome series called X-Wing Mind Games going. We're going to be releasing episode 3 and 4 upcoming this week. And you can also go to goldsquadronpodcast.com. We have some swag for sale up there. And if you want to support the show while getting awesome swag that you don't have to pay for, you just support in the show and get a bunch of extra stuff, you can go to patreon.com/goldsquadron. And thank you, gentlemen, for joining me. For Francois, Brandon, Nate, and William, my name is Dion Morales. Gold Squadron out.